Welcome back to the second half of the day. So we'll sit a little bit more just to get reoriented, and then we're going to do another lesson that's in sitting, and we'll add more variations on the different themes. So find a comfortable place to sit or lie down. And just become aware of your contact with the floor and the chair, or the surface that you're lying on. And notice what's vertical for you. What feels like vertical right now? We'll return to this after doing more lessons. Or if you're lying down, just noticing your contact, that's fine. And just become aware of your breathing, the natural rhythm of your breath. And initially, you can just rest in the natural rhythm of the inhalation and the exhalation. Just sensing the presence of the breath. And then when you wish, you can open to the general sense of awareness of whatever is arising. Sensations, sounds, thoughts, sights, smells, tastes, more sensations. And in the simplicity of awareness, just noticing what presents itself. You're both aware that you're aware, and you're aware of different appearances, whatever they are. And this is a very natural kind of situation. If things become too chaotic, or you wish to become perhaps more focused, you can always return back to the breath and the steadying influence of the inhalation and the exhalation. And now we'll add another dimension to the meditation. So far, we've been generally aware of different regions of the body as they present themselves, both in doing the awareness through movement lessons and in simply meditating. Now we'll focus a bit more on naturally exploring and, for want of a better word, inhabiting or occupying different regions of the body. So this is not just the sense of noting sensations, but actually feeling, experiencing, being, whatever word you wish to attach, just being a region of the body, just exploring them. Begin by feeling, sensing, whatever words are useful for you, the region where your heart or chest is, your torso, where you feel your heart is. You can even put your hand there if that helps. And sense that region of yourself in whatever ways you can. And imagine that you're there inside your body, just experiencing the inner space of this region of yourself. This isn't something that we typically do, so again, if you don't know how to do this, that's fine. It's fine to operate from not knowing. Much of our lives is operated from not knowing. It's almost a natural state, you could say. So you're just sensing your middle of your heart region, as if you're occupying or being there, however that presents itself to you. You can, if you wish, even direct your breath to that area. And you're just there, just occupying this heart region. Sometimes as you bring your focus or attention to that region, different feelings are evoked, images, thoughts, memories. It's fine. And as you're resting in that heart region, however you are, if you have your eyes shut, just take a moment to lightly open your eyes and just in a sort of global way of looking, just notice what seeing is like as you occupy in your awareness this heart region of your body-mind. Looking and sensing from the space of just occupying this region of the body with your awareness. And then you can close your eyes if you wish, let that go. And now have the sense of your legs, your feet making contact with the floor, and the sensations of the feet and the floor together, and your foot and your ankles, both feet and both ankles. And have the sense that you're occupying or being in the inside of the feet, the ankles. Again, it's fine if you don't know how to do it. That's perfectly fine. You just can sense it in whatever way you do. So you have the sense that you're occupying your feet, your ankles, and your lower legs, your calf muscles, your knees. You're inhabiting this region of yourself. And if you're doing this with your eyes shut, just for a few moments, open your eyes and notice how inhabiting this region of yourself affects your seeing. That's good. And then moving further up through the torso, the body, feeling the presence of the thighs, the pelvis. As if you're just resting, inhabiting in these structures of the body from the inside. And if you have your eyes shut, just opening them a little bit, looking out and noticing how inhabiting your legs, your thighs, your pelvis, with your awareness, how that affects the way you see. And then let that go. And now sense the presence of your shoulders, your arms, your hands. And have the sense of occupying or inhabiting these regions of yourself, however you do it. And you can open your eyes and look and notice what it's like to see when you're inhabiting this region of yourself. And then you can let that go. And lastly, have the sense of occupying or inhabiting the very center of your head, as if you were right inside your skull in the center. Again, this might be hard to feel. That's okay. Just imagining it, sensing it, however you do, that you're there internally. And open your eyes and look from the perspective of inhabiting this region of yourself. And let that go. And now lastly, have the sense that you're inhabiting or occupying your entire body altogether, all at once. Again, it's fine not to know how to do it. You're just exploring. Not knowing is a natural place to be learning from. The whole body, just the sense that you're all here, all at once, occupying whatever the body is as it appears to you right now, however it appears to you, to awareness. You might even have the sense of the breath moving through the internal space of the body. You might notice that the body itself is both solid and has open spaces. There are sensations that float in the midst of space. And as you're occupying the sense of the whole body, open your eyes once again and look and notice how seeing is affected by occupying the whole body. And as I ring the gong, have the sense that you're occupying the body as you have been, and that the sound is coming into you, coming through you, as if you were transparent, that you're not reaching out to go to the sound, but the sound just keeps traveling, so that you're kind of transparent and just receive the sound in your whole body, as your whole body. And when you open your eyes and arrive here this way, notice how the sights and the sounds occur in the space of the body-mind as you're inhabiting it, as you're occupying it. We're always doing this anyway, but this is a chance to be aware of being aware of it. So that the sense is almost that you're receiving everything, and it just, it's all happening in the space of the body-mind. Okay. So that's a slightly different type of meditation on the, what you might call occupying the space of the body in your awareness. If you have any questions or comments on that, we can certainly do that before going on to the next lesson. It's a little bit different than some mindfulness meditation. Just if anybody has any comments, questions, be happy to consider that, hear that. If not, okay, I'm going to take that as satisfaction, I hope. I'm just curious, did any of you have a sense of just inhabiting, resting in the presence of the whole body? Just curious? Sort of. Okay. So this is a practice that I've been doing for many years. It's an old practice. It's in Tibetan Buddhism. This is not exactly that, but it's a modern version where you're resting as the inner central channel of the body. There's something called the central channel meditation in Tibetan Buddhism. And it's been picked up and developed by a psychologist who was very involved with Buddhism named Judith Blackstone. It's a whole teaching around occupying, inhabiting all the regions of the body. It's very healing, and it goes really well with Feldenkrais work. So if anybody wants references to that or more of that, I can connect you with it. We sort of do that. I integrate it as part of Feldenkrais, but it's a whole teaching in itself, a very old teaching. Okay. Okay, so we're going to do a lesson that is related to sitting, but we'll also take it into a version of lying down a little later. That particularly is useful for developing a sense of uprightness. Because one of the things that we, as humans, often play a lot with is how to be upright. You know, how to stand, how to sit in a way that feels balanced and responsive to the environment, but also comfortable. So this is a interesting challenge. It's how do we organize ourselves in gravity to be vertical? A very big task. When we're young, we spend a lot of time trying to figure this one out. Okay, so I'd like everybody to stand. Once again, just let your arms hang at your sides and feel how your weight comes through you into your feet. Get the general sense of how you are inhabiting yourself in terms of being aware of the different regions of the body standing. And do a little bit of weight shifting, left to right, right to left. Be sure to look out, not just down, when you're doing this. And notice, is there a difference between your left side or your right side, or maybe they're the same? And we're going to add another element to this. So as you're weight shifting, keep reducing the weight shifting so it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, until you feel like you're in the very middle of the movement, where it would be easy to weight shift to one side or the other. I'm going to call that relative neutrality, relative resting point. Feel the balance that comes with it, and then launch into going to the left, come back to the center, launch into going to the right, come back to the center. So you have a sense that you're in neutral and you could launch in a variety of directions. And launch a little bit forward, so you're shifting your weight a little forward on your feet. And launch a little bit backwards, so you're shifting into your heels. And then do a little circle, so you're circling around yourself. It could go clockwise, counterclockwise, both directions. And then make the circle smaller and smaller until you come into the very center. Okay, that's our reference movement. We'll return to it and see how the lesson affects that. And then have a seat. Come a little forward in the chair. Feel what's vertical for you. You know, it's interesting. Arrange yourself so you feel vertical. What's that like? You know, we as we've discussed this morning, we often have ideas, concepts about what vertical is. So now we're going to vertical. Okay. Feel how you're stacked up on top of yourself, where your weight comes through. Okay, and then begin a small movement of looking up through the ceiling. You can move any parts of yourself you want to, just looking up. So if you don't want to move your head, whatever, any parts, and come down. But don't try to strain in any way. Smooth, light, easy. You can look up. You can look back to your neutral starting position. Do it a couple times and pick a spot on the ceiling that is going to be a reference point for how far you can easily look up without any stress or strain. And as you do this, feel which parts of yourself are getting involved in the movement. And if you're needing to rest or lie down, you can completely do these lessons in your imagination and you'll still get a benefit most of the time. That's perfectly fine. So you're looking up and coming back to neutral. You're not looking down yet. Just coming back to your neutral starting position. Everybody got their reference point? Okay, we're going to do a typical Feldenkrais thing. You can guess what it is. As your head goes up, your eyes are going to look down. So make it small. It's fine to not know how to do it. Keep breathing as you do it. And don't stay fixed anywhere. Go up and return back. So you're correspondingly, as your head is tracking up, your eyes are looking down. It's not that your head goes up and then you look down. It's from the start. They split directions. And let your jaw relax. You might even do it a few times with a smile. And maybe you're even curious about it. How odd is this? What's going on? Okay, and let that go. And just feel the effects of that. Notice if it creates a different sensation somewhere in you. And then, without thinking about it very much, as you look up, really look up with your eyes and come back down and notice any change in the way you do this. It doesn't even have to be in range. It could be in the way you do it. Maybe, maybe not. You're just checking it out. Good. And then sit back in your chair and take a rest. And once again, just sense the body at rest. And notice which regions of yourself awareness tends to go to naturally. Which regions of yourself you tend to occupy or you inhabit. Notice the natural rhythm of your breathing. And sit a little forward in your chair. Take your right hand and put it on your sternum. Take the back of your left hand, put it in your lower back. Have your feet flat. And what you're going to do is you're going to tilt your pelvis slightly forward. So you create an increase in your lumbar arch. Now, if you have back issues, do less than you can do. And then return back to your neutral starting point. So as you tilt your pelvis forward, notice what happens with your right hand. Does it rise up? Probably does. Okay. So you're tilting your pelvis slightly forward, arching a little bit more, and probably feeling the right hand rise up. And coming back to neutral. Now this next time you do this, as you tilt the pelvis forward and you feel your sternum start to rise a little bit, your ribs, let your head look up a little bit naturally with the movement and come back. So you're launching, arching a little bit with your lumbar spine, feeling the ribs come up, letting the head and eyes track up and look, and then letting the pelvis come back to neutral, feeling the ribs sink, and letting the head return to neutral. So it's a smooth, coordinated wave motion coming up through you. And rather than trying to increase the size of the movement by tilting your head further, let your head and your pelvis and your ribs find a natural connectedness so they mutually inform the pattern of the movement. You distribute, initiate out of your pelvis, feel the movement rise up through your spine, ribs, and affect your head. Doesn't have to be big, and then you return and sink back, and you can feel the pelvis return and sink back, and the rest of you comes along. So in the same way that we created a dynamic, responsive relationship between the lower body and the upper body this morning, we're doing the same thing here. And find a rhythm and a pace for this. Once you have it, you can take your hands away, once you know what it is, and find a way to do this where you really have a sense of each region in conversation. So, you know, no one region is doing extra work. They're fluidly connecting. And you're breathing with the movement. Your breath and the movement accommodate to each other. You can pause and stop anytime you want. You can rest. It's fine. Good. And let that go. Sit back in your chair and take a full rest. Now, as you rest, consider an emotion that you might like to express while doing this movement. You know, in the same way I asked you when you were turning and looking to your side to have a kind of curiosity, like, who's that? Or, oh, that sounds like a familiar friend. And that you generated a certain emotional context. You know, it could be, suppose it's like a very unusual sight that you're seeing and you're in a state of, wow, I've never seen those stars before. They're so bright. Or you're seeing the moon with an interesting haze on it. Or you're seeing some bird chirping in the trees and you're very curious. The sound is so intriguing, you want to see it. Anything. Or you just notice, wow, there's a lot I could look up into. The sky is vast. Whatever it is, consider for a moment what you'd like to bring into this movement. And then when you're ready, sit a little forward in your chair. You're going to launch out of your pelvis. And just a couple times, look up in that space and come back again and notice how that intensity, that emotion, whatever it is, affects the quality of your movement. Remember, you don't have to go to the end of the movement. What you're trying to go for is each part of yourself is in sync in the same party room as the other parts. And notice how the movement particularly distributes through your spine, how your spine is unfolding and coming back. And focus on the fluidity of the movement in your spine for a moment as you're looking with that emotional response. Okay, nice. Good. And now, just before we move into something else, look up with, I suggested a very inviting emotion, maybe look up with, do I have to look up again? Something that you're not as enthusiastic about, you know, and just see, how does that affect the movement pattern in you? Can you feel the difference? How you change your organization when you change the emotional response. So it's very interesting, you know, if you launch into something with a certain emotional response, it carries into the movement and creates an effect. Okay, so let that one go. And now we're going to do the reverse, which is to look down. So just look down a few times, feel what gets involved, and come back up. Look down, feel what gets involved, and look up. Not up, but to back to neutral. And notice where you feel the movement. Good. And then come back to neutral. We'll do one more variation and then you can rest. Same thing as before. As you look down, let your eyes track up. So you want to have them separate at the same time. And this is a pattern breaker. So as the head goes down, the eyes track and start to look up. But the head doesn't go down, and then the eyes look up. They split at the same time because it's easy to go down and then look up. But you want to get an equal differentiation. And then you come back. And then sit back in your chair and rest. And just take in the changes. And now take the palms of both hands and just place them lightly over your eyes to create some darkness. And once again, internally sense the presence of the whole body. And let yourself just relax into the presence of the whole body in the darkness. And then you can take your hands away. And sit a little bit forward in your chair. And now, just the opposite, when you put your right hand on your sternum and the back of your left hand on your back of your pelvis, your lumbar spine, begin by tilting your pelvis backwards so you create a C shape in your spine and feel how your sternum sinks. And then bring your pelvis back to neutral. So now you're tilting your pelvis, letting it sink back, feeling the sternum come down, feeling the head looking down. And how can you make that movement smooth and light? Once you have the feel of it, you can take your hands away so that each part is in relationship to all the other parts. No one part is getting ahead, so to speak. Good. Nice. Okay, and let that go. Just sit for a moment. And now return to the sense of sitting upright and feeling vertical. And notice, what's it like now? Has anything changed? Your back is still away from the back of the chair, unless you need to rest. Has anything changed? Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. Now, we're going to be doing a very interesting combination here. So what you're going to do now is you're going to combine the two directions. And the way to do that is you might need to have your legs a little further apart. You might need to have your stance in some way adapt to this. You're going to tilt the pelvis forward, feel the rise up, look up, tilt the pelvis back, feel yourself sink, and look down. So you're moving through a continuum of movement, and the circulation of the movement is the distribution is throughout your whole spine, through your pelvis, through your vertebrae, your neck, your head. So again, the size of the movement's not important. It's the quality and the sense of cooperation that you're creating through yourself. You might need to adjust the width between your legs. If that doesn't create a big enough base to do this easily, play with different positions for your legs. You might want to have your hands on your thighs as a way to feel how your shoulders are affected. And as you look up and look down, notice as you look up, your shoulder blades start to come a little bit closer to your spine. And as you look down, your shoulder blades move a little bit further away from your spine. That's another thing you can notice. Do you feel that? That's good. And then breathe with the movement. And notice, what is an attitude that you want to bring to this movement? Right? You're just doing it as a moving pattern. But suppose you were selecting some tone, like interest, curiosity, wonder, silliness, goofiness, some kind of playful thing that you like to do, excitement. Notice how that affects the movement pattern. Good. Now let it go, sit back, and just take a rest, and we'll bring it all together. So one of the things about sitting that's interesting and standing and being upright is that there's a constant dynamic of the anti-gravity muscles in the body to try to stabilize, to create stabilization, or else you'd fall down. So you're constantly making these dynamic little shifting adjustments to be upright. So we're going to play with that now and to create a sense of what feels like being really upright. So here's one way to play with it. You sit forward in the chair, have your legs at a nice distance. I think having your hands on your thighs is generally better just because it opens up your shoulders to move. If you have them here, it closes your shoulders. If you have them together. So you're going to begin with the launching pattern and then coming back and you're tilting your pelvis forward, looking up, then tilting your pelvis back to neutral, then tilting it backwards, looking down. So you're going through that continuum. And each time you do that movement pattern, do it a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less each way until you feel like you're really just stacked right up on top of yourself. You feel like your bones are what's supporting you. Let your jaw relax, let your eyes relax. You could even smile as you do it. And come to the place where you feel relatively neutral. That is, you could move in either direction, but you also feel vertically stacked. And so the way you get there is you constantly do less and less and less of each direction until you're right in the middle of the whole thing. You feel like you're in neutrality. Now, neutrality may not feel normal. That's okay, because this is a new approach to sitting. But one thing that probably is there is if you turn and look to your left and your right, your neck will probably feel pretty light and easy, because the rest of your body is using the bones, the skeletal system, to support itself. If it isn't, go back and make some micro adjustments until you feel like your head and neck feels, right? And that may mean that you don't look habitually the way you do. Many of us look down a lot. Maybe you look out. Okay. How many people have found some relative vertical neutrality for themselves? I'm just curious. You can still be working on it, too. Okay, relative. Remember, this is a first approximation. After you've done it 10,000 times, it'll be clearer. Actually, less than that. If you do it 10 times, it'll really become clear. That was a joke, but... Okay, so now, sit back in your chair and take a rest. So we can take this relative launching into neutrality and use it for getting up in a way that feels lighter and easier. Because one of the things that often happens when people, as people age, is they start overusing certain parts of their body and not using the ones that are designed to handle the work. For example, have any of you used the arms of the chair to take you up? Right? I'm going to get up now, and you push yourself up out of the chair. So that puts a lot of work into your shoulders and neck muscles. Right? So there is a way to use what we just did to get up in a much easier way. And that would be if you slide a little forward in your chair. And this is one of the few times I'm going to demonstrate this. Usually you won't see people demonstrating Feldenkrais lessons because this is my system of organization. It's not yours, so it doesn't apply necessarily. You might do this very differently. So when you're doing Feldenkrais lessons, remember, watching somebody do it is not going to really be as useful as just doing it internally and figuring out your own organization. There's a lot of YouTube videos that show people demoing it. It's useful and it's not useful in some ways. So what I'm going to do is I'm starting to tilt forward and feel my sternum rise. But rather than looking up, I'm starting to launch into a trajectory which is starting to drop my weight into my feet more. And I might need to have my wider base of my legs. I might need to have 1 foot forward from the other. We could experiment. And what I'm doing is I'm launching, but I'm not getting up. I'm launching and starting to drop my weight into my feet. I'm launching, and I'm trying to find where's the path where if I keep launching and drop my weight into my feet, I can just naturally use my legs as the support for rising up. And when I descend, I am going back and using my legs, finding that trajectory, and coming back into neutral, being vertical neutral. So everybody try that. Remember, you don't have to get up right away. Part of the beauty of this is you want to play with the reversibility of the action. Because easily reversing out is giving you a clue as to what's a really functional pattern for you. Right? If I overcommit and then I have to drag myself back, that's not going to work. So it's launching and returning. And then you find out, where's the trajectory that gives my weight into my legs and feet and starts to take me higher? So my feet push into the floor to take me up, rather than using my upper body strength. So play with it a couple times. You can launch, you can return. You don't even have to go fully upright. You know, it's interesting to reverse in the middle range. That requires more skill. And you're just coming up. And then when you do come up, stand and feel how your contact with the floor drives you through your skeletal system so you actually elongate. Can you feel that? Yeah, it's the pushing of the feet into the floor gives you the stability to rise up. And then just take your hands and bring them up and feel yourself lengthening through your system. And as you breathe, feel your rib cage floating into the movement, but feel your feet are really rooted, and then let your hands down again. And then, what's your contact like now, standing through your feet? Anything different? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's one of your reference points. And then weight shift a little. And how's your weight shifting? And now, while you're coming to the middle and stop, let's apply the same thing to standing. So look up and notice how your spine and your pelvis want to respond to your looking up. Can you feel the distribution through your spine and into your pelvis? Maybe, maybe not. Only going as much as feels light and easy. And then look down and notice how you want to do that. Maybe you let your knees soften and you look down and bend your knees and come back up. Okay, and then sinking backwards, reversing the trajectory, coming back into your chair. And then launching the pattern and coming up again. And then sinking back again and feeling where's the easy pattern for launching and coming back. And then when you're back here, we'll do the final reference movement, which is, without thinking about it very much, look up using anything you learned from the lesson and notice, has anything changed in your reference point when you started the lesson? And are there parts of yourself that have now joined in that are acting as a resource for you to do this? Just know what they are. Got it? Yeah? Okay, so now we'll take a bigger rest. Actually, before we take a bigger rest, let's do one other thing, because I want you to experience this in connection a little more to the environment. So go into your launching pattern and come back up. And turn and face somebody, and once again, just shake hands. But before you shake hands, feel the connection of your feet into the floor. And when you shake hands, feel how the shaking of the hands travels all the way through your skeleton so you feel the contact with your feet. Maybe. So find a partner, just shake hands, try one hand, the other, and feel your connection through your feet and your legs. Right? Do you feel that? And notice how that changes your perceptual field when you feel grounded like this. Try the other hand. And then try both hands. Right? And just take a moment to share with your partner what you discovered doing this lesson and then coming to shake hands. What did you notice? How did the lesson affect both your looking up and down and getting up and shaking hands? We'll take a minute to do that.
Well, it's definitely easier to get up when I was visualizing that trajectory up there when I was doing that. And then when we were just now, I can totally feel my legs being more solid and grounded. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of some yoga when you do the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that.
Oh, yeah, the cat. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you can begin finishing up the conversation. Okay, we'll do a brief check-in here, and then we'll take this into something else. So, insights, observations, epiphanies, questions, whatever. If you have any. Yes, we need a mic here, I guess. Right over here. Oh, no, mic is good in case anybody's on a hearing-assisted.
So my partner and I had similar experiences that doing the right hand or the left hand, we didn't actually feel that connection. But doing both hands crisscrossed, we felt very strongly on both sides, perfectly aligned.
Mm. Yeah, nice, nice. The combination of the whole body experience. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just wondering, is there, I've read the Brain's Way of the Deutsch book, in
yeah.
that chapter on the Feldenkrais. I'm wondering if there are resources that really get into the neuroscience of this process that exists, or is that still an exploration?
Are you talking about other methods or research on it?
I'm talking about what is exactly, or does the neurology of the Feldenkrais approach exist? Has it been elucidated?
Yeah, there has been some research on it, and some of it has been posted to the Feldenkrais Guild's website. They have a section. If you just Google Feldenkrais Guild, there'll be a section on the site called Research, and they'll have a fair number of articles on what's happening.
Not a definitive text or anything.
Not definitive. I mean, Deutsch has been the leader in this for a while. His first book, The Brain's Way of Changing Itself, I think it was called. He's the guy who introduced this as something pretty radical, that a lot of things could be affected by neuroplasticity, particularly movement disorders like Parkinson's. You know, which a lot of people in the Parkinson's community have picked up on, and, you know, there's a huge set of movement practices. So he's often a funnel for the research. But I know the Feldenkrais community is, and they post stuff pretty regularly. And if you email me, I'll send you some links to things I've found. Yeah. Oh, wait, Mike's coming over.
I'm maybe 20 years ago, I saw a thing called a response inhibiting postures.
Mm.
You know that? It was in England. I think it was in England.
Yeah, kind of probably related to Alexander work.
But it seems like it's using this similar things. I mean, it was moving the body in particular positions to inhibit spasticity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you can use it. That could be a learning tool, too, to inhibit as well as to express. They're both there. Yeah, there's a fair amount of work in the Alexander community about inhibiting certain things in order to bring the torso and the trunk into the alignment. They play a lot more with inhibition, I think. Yeah. I'm just curious, did you find a way to launch in the group that was easier for you? How many people did? I'm just curious. I mean, if you didn't, that's okay. But okay, so you found a pathway. So this brings in an interesting piece. Like when we're doing Feldenkrais stuff, there's several dimensions you can look at the movement through, and we're playing with. One of them is the path, the trajectory of a movement. And that's the piece that we were playing with the launching pattern. It's like, what is an optimally efficient pathway of movement to carry out the action? You know, even when you're rotating, is it slightly spiraling up? Is it spiraling laterally? Is it spiraling? You know, what is it that helps you find the smooth groove for the movement? So this is one of those lessons. And we need a microphone here, and we have a couple over here, I guess. Yep.
Thank you. So my trajectory, my trajectory felt to me like I was doing it wrong.
How so?
I felt like I was bending over too far.
Huh?
I'm supposed to be going up. And, I mean, it did get me to not use the chair to lift myself, so I was very happy about that. But is it wrong?
Did you feel stable doing it, relatively stable?
I did.
Feel like it was less effort and easier?
Well, I didn't need to use my arms.
Did you have a sense of smoothness to the movement, lightness?
I think so.
Was it easily reversible?
Yeah, pretty much so.
I'd say that's in the ballpark of the movement pattern. Yeah, I mean, what happens is every time you sit in a different chair, you're going to have a different type of trajectory because we're playing with different surfaces. So one of the things is remember, everything we do is an approximation of something. It's not final because we're still training our system. We're fine-tuning it. So sometimes, in order to get your weight into your feet, it'll feel like you're going too far down in order to get the stability, the foundation, to push it against.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's okay, because you're playing. There's another element, the movement element that we're playing with here, which has to do with foundation. That's another aspect. You need something to build the movement on in order to do something. So the chair and the floor provide stable foundations to push against in order to create a trajectory. So you were playing with, how do I get the weight sufficiently into my feet to transfer from this foundation of the chair deeply into my feet? You had to go over a little further than other people, and that's suited to your structure and your way of organizing. That may change as you keep playing with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, maybe one more question or two more, whatever. Yep.
Yeah, just two things, actually. I just wanted to comment on the lady's question about the neurology behind it,
mm-hmm.
because basically we have movement maps in our brain for all of our movements, and those maps get blurry when we don't use them. And so a method like Feldenkrais, it just clarifies the map because it's being very precise.
Yep.
And focused attention on it, and that's how you build that plastic change. The other thing, that this is just a duh, but it's like my energy level after doing the movement, you know, because come in, do the meditation, it's just like, you know, trying to stay awake, and then just that small, very focused movement just brought so much energy. back to my body. So
yeah, nice. Yeah, and that's very to the point, which is I haven't discussed it yet, but another dimension of doing the movement patterns is that exactly that, you're mapping yourself. You know, when you're noticing the changing pressure contact, I often allude to it, you know, your pelvis changing pressure contact, feeling the foundations, that is changing your brain's map of your orientation in space and in gravity. So, you know, I'm going to play with that a little bit more in the next lesson of how you actually map yourself. Because the more you map yourself onto surfaces, and you see kids doing this all the time. Kids are constantly mapping their own system into their environment, touching everything, moving it, rolling on top of it, you know, seeing if they can break it apart. They're mapping their system. So we get pretty limited in how we map. So this is opening the mapping process up. I'm really glad you mentioned that. Okay. Maybe one more question. We have two more and then we'll shift.
I was interested in earlier when you said you ask someone to reach for something on the shelf and they're interested in the end result, and it felt like in the launch that even the word launch feels like we're like skipping through the middle part and just getting to the standing.
Yep.
And I'm curious, is this a movement you should be able to do very slowly, or does it take some momentum to actually launch?
It really depends on how you're organized. I really think that it's very individual.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, trust what you discover for your own system. If it's slow, then it's slow. If it's quicker, then it's quicker. It'll keep changing. Yeah.
I find as a tall person that for me, I got nervous when you said we're going to smoothly launch from the chair. And so because I've had more difficulty with that, I get lazy about it. Mm. And I just think, well, as a tall person, I always have to kind of push myself off or grab onto something because I have long legs. And the seat isn't that high. But I wonder about that as we're doing this exercise, if I can be more successful just through practice.
Well, you might need to put some pillows down to bring your height up. If you're taller, I mean, you know, this may not be the right kind of dynamic for launching. So I would play with pillows.
Play with it, huh?
Yeah, raise the height so that you don't have to be as extreme in the launch pattern, so that you really feel like you can just tip into it.
Yeah.
Pillows. Yeah. We need, I guess, one final question and we'll continue on. Yeah.
So I felt the organization happening in the body, but I also became really aware of how much quadriceps strength was required, which is like a muscles. And you haven't really talked about muscular strength. I wonder if you could comment on that.
Yeah, that typically is you transfer into putting the load, like in this lesson, into the quads, which are the, you know, a power group for coming up. You take it off your shoulders and your arms and your back. You'll feel it in your quads, and your quads will go, what is this? And, you know, you do it, yeah, that's why I say if you do this lesson 10 times or 20 times, they'll go, oh, okay, I get it. But initially, it can be a surprise because they're not used to doing it. But remember also, this is just one pattern of getting up. As you play around with it, you may find other ways to do it that are differently distributed through yourself. So, you know, it's not the only way. Okay, that's a lot to do. Do you need a little break before we go to the next thing? Okay, so we take a 10-minute break and come back, and that would be, it's 2:46, so 2:56. Well, I'll ring the bell, and you can hear it. 10-minute break. And if you have any other questions, feel free to come up, and we can talk some more. Okay, welcome back. So one thing I forgot to mention about doing this is you might feel like you're starting to be relaxed a little bit more doing this. It would not be unusual after doing a day of Feldenkrais lessons to go home and say, you know, I kind of really feel like taking a nap and just falling asleep, and or even if you don't take a nap and you just, I feel really tired, I think I'm going to go to bed soon, and just getting incredibly sound sleep. Because you have stirred up the system a lot. You have done a lot of reorganization today, and your body needs a way to body-mind needs a way to process this, and sleep is a great way to do it. So I've had people, sometimes when I've done like retreats or done this longer, some people will say, oh, I never nap. But I went home this afternoon, and I slept for like 3 hours. I never do that. And it's like your body just wants to process it. So I would not be surprised. Or you have very vivid dreams involving movement patterns that you're not typically in. So it happens. Okay, so we're going to now make a connection between the last movement pattern, and we'll do a little more meditation after that. But before we do that, I want everybody to once again just get up and walk around, and this time, as you walk around, just connect with people, and if you want, you can shake hands, or you can just simply say hi, and do a little dance as you meet them, and just express whatever you want. Dance or not dance, but be a little expressive as you go around. You don't have to dance, but it's fun too, so you could do it. But just greet people, move around, just get a sense of using some of the movement patterns we've done today to just express, be connected with people, however you wish. If it seems too strange, you don't have to do it. But I think moving around and just walking and noticing how you like to walk and how you like to integrate the movement patterns as you walk is very useful. So just moving around, letting yourself move your body however you wish. You know, if you like shaking out a little, that's fine. Just greeting people, seeing people, being here together. And eventually pick a partner. Can I demo this with you? So you're going to pick a partner and stand facing your partner. Let's come up here. And I will demonstrate what you're going to do. So you can have over here if you want. So we're going to do a little bit of a Tai Chi-like movement. And this is a way to also connect, but also feel how the movement patterns, your movement pattern, somebody else's movement pattern, are connecting with each other. You did it through shaking hands. So in this case, what you're going to do is you're going to put your right hand up, and you're going to, I'll demo it first so you can see it. And we may not be visible. We'll turn and show you as well. And have your right foot forward, left foot back. So your right hand is up, right foot is forward. And all we're going to do is we're going to keep this little connection between our wrists, and my arm is relaxed, feeling my feet. And I'm going to move a little bit towards you, and you're going to respond by moving a little bit back, shifting your weight, and you're going to move a little towards me. And we'll form a little bit of a circle as we do it. So we're mutually influencing each other, but we're sensing our movement, because if I stop, you stop. Right? So if we got lost, tell me your name.
Gwen.
Gwen would just move away from me and we'd lose the contact. So we're, in Tai Chi they call it yielding and adhering. So we're just simply, and I'm weight shifting, which is what we've been doing all day. I'm feeling the connectedness of my shoulders, arms, and so forth down into my feet. And we're just doing a little bit of a shared movement pattern together. Okay? So it's fine to not know how to do it. Right foot forward, right hand forward. Relax your right arm, shoulder, everything. And bend your knees slightly. Bend your knees. And who doesn't have a partner? If you need a partner, okay, let me know. And you're just simply going back and forth and form a little circle as you do it. So, there you go. Relax your... Now, you have to have one foot in front of the other. It's to make it easier. Right foot forward, left foot back, so you can actually weight shift. Yeah. And really feel the way in which your system is connecting with someone else's system. And see if you can do it non-verbally. Non-verbally. So you're just sensing. Do you do Tai Chi? So you have a sense of it. Now switch hands. Left foot forward, left arm forward. And once again, weight shifting together. And this is what it's like when your mutual nervous systems and structures form a bigger system. Okay, and then bring it to a close. Put your hands at your sides. Thank your partner. And just take a moment to exchange what you noticed when you did that with your partner. Just a little bit of an exchange with your partner.
Principles of Tai Chi are that the strength comes through your legs, the movement comes through your hips.
Okay, so finish up the conversation. Okay, so that's an example of using weight shifting, making contact. We've been playing with this of making contact and feeling that contact with somebody else through our own nervous system, through our structure. And we do this a lot during the day. So now we're going to take, another lesson that's going to take the theme that we just did with sitting, which is what's sometimes referred to as flexion, extension, extension, flexion, extension, looking up, flexion, looking down. We're going to play with it in a different position, out of gravity, lying down, and we'll add more movement variations, and we'll play with the mapping element that we talked about a little earlier to increase the mapping aspect. So, I'm going to ask everybody to find a comfortable position to lie down. Remember to roll onto your side and then onto your back. If you need a pillow under your head or something under your knees, or if you need to keep your knees up, that's fine. So, as you lie down, just notice, as we've done so far during the day, where awareness goes. Which regions of yourself do you inhabit, are you drawn to? And perhaps to be curious and notice, what's that about for you? Is there something when you notice you're drawn to a particular region of the body-mind? Is that a way you have of checking in on yourself? Or is it a familiar reference point? And then as before, notice the contact of your legs with the floor. Notice the contact of your pelvis with the floor. Notice the contact of your spine and lower back and ribs with the floor. Notice the contact of your shoulders with the floor, your arms, wherever you've placed them. Notice the contact of your head. Now notice the right and left sides of yourself. And if the right and left sides are organized differently in their contact with the floor. We've talked about asymmetries today. And sometimes you can really notice the asymmetry, not trying to adjust it, not trying to fix it, just noticing how do the right and left sides of yourself organize themselves, particularly with reference to the contact that you have with the floor. If you had an imaginary line going through the center of each leg, upwards to your upper body, how would the lines come up? Would they cross at some point? Would they stay parallel? And if you sense the two sides of your pelvis and you were to put a ball right in the middle of your pelvis, would it roll to the left, to the right, maybe stay where it is? And is one shoulder closer to the floor than the other? This is all a way to have something, a reference point to check back in with. And then if you were dipped into a bottle of ink and blotted onto a white page, what would be your ink impression now? Your unique pressure signature with the floor. And then attune to your natural rhythm of breathing. Just notice the inhalation and the exhalation as you're at rest. Which parts of you become involved with the natural rhythm of your breathing? Just resting in the natural rhythm of breathing. Now notice if there are any regions of yourself that seem to be signaling you in some way. In other words, they might be standing out and you're just noticing that. Or if there are any regions of yourself that seem to maybe need some sort of resource, perhaps a lack of comfort somewhere that you'd like to connect with. Just noticing that, if there is anything. Now bring your knees up so your feet are flat. Find a comfortable stance for your legs so it's easy to keep them up. Preferably not having them lean against each other, if possible. If you need to, okay, but if you can do it without that, that's good. And sense the contact of your pelvis with the floor. Now imagine that your pelvis is resting on a clock face, the old analogical clock face, where 12 o'clock is in the direction of your head and 6 o'clock is in the direction of your feet. 3 o'clock is out to your left and 9 o'clock is out to the right. And your pelvis is resting right in the center of the clock. Do a light movement, a small movement, of tilting your pelvis slightly up in the direction of your head so you decrease the space between your lumbar spine and the floor. You might even press it a little into the floor so your pelvis is tilting up towards 12 o'clock a little bit and then return back to your initial starting position. It does not need to be a big movement. In fact, do less than you can do. And do that a few times and feel how the pressure contact of the pelvis and your spine and your ribs and other parts of yourself changes as you tilt the pelvis towards the head and as you return. And let your jaw relax, let your mouth relax, let your eyes relax. Notice if you like tilting your pelvis up on an in-breath or an out-breath. And then let that go. Return back to your neutral starting position. Just pause. And then tilt your pelvis in the direction of your feet towards 6 o'clock. So you're increasing the arch of your lumbar spine a little bit as you tilt in that direction. Just do what feels light and easy. It really doesn't matter how big the movement is. It's more about the quality internally. And return back. And notice how you like to breathe as you tilt your pelvis towards 6 o'clock and return. Which parts of you are affected by the tilting of your pelvis towards 6 o'clock? Do you feel a change in the pressure contact as you tilt in other parts of yourself? In your back, in your feet, in your arms, in your shoulders, your head, and come back. Good, and come back to your neutral starting position and just pause for a moment. Just sense the effects of the movements. And now, before taking a rest, you're going to combine both directions. So you'll tilt your pelvis up towards 12 o'clock. Feel the lumbar spine press a little bit into the floor. Come back to your starting neutral position. Tilt a little bit towards 6 o'clock, towards your feet. Feel the lumbar spine move away from the floor a little. And find a size for the movement that feels comfortable, light, easy, easy to reverse, going back and forth, and harmonize the movement with your natural breathing pattern. So as you tilt in both directions, you don't have to hold your breath at all. Your breath and the tilting can support each other. And let your jaw relax. You could even let your mouth hang open a little. And notice, do you have a preference for tilting in one direction or the other? You can pause and rest anytime you want. And as you tilt in both directions, notice how the tilting of the pelvis influences your spine, your ribs, your upper body. Does your head like to get involved? One way you can tell is you'll feel the pressure contact of your head and other parts of your upper body changing as you tilt your pelvis. That's great. And you can rest, stretch out if you want, lie in any position you want. If you need to be on your side, that's fine. Or just rest on your back is fine. Just take a full rest. With each exhalation, you can just sink and drop and relax, be supported by the ground. Now bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. And bring your knees over your chest. Take hold of each knee, if this is comfortable for you, with each hand. If you can, put your hands under the knees rather than on top, that's good. But don't clasp them together. Hold each leg independently if it's possible for you. If you need to hold them together, that's okay, but if not. And now, roll a little around to the left and right and feel how you're changing the pressure contact on both sides of your spine and on both sides of your pelvis. And at the same time, giving your spine and back a little bit of a massage. You know, if you've seen cats or dogs do this, they love doing this. It's an important part of their lives. Don't think we really do it enough. It's an important part of our lives to get some connectedness with the ground using a really basic rotation. And notice how the parts of you go together, how they can move in sync. And depending on where you position your legs, you'll pressure map different parts of your spine. And if you pull them in closer, you usually can get a little higher up. If you let them come out a little, you can go a little lower. So you're mapping your back and at the same time giving it a massage. Good. And then put your feet down so your knees are pointed towards the ceiling, feet are in contact with the floor. And anytime you need to give your back a massage during this lesson, feel free to do so. Now, tilt your pelvis between 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock, as you did before. And as you do this, notice how your head likes to get involved with this movement. Does your head feel drawn to tilting towards 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock too, in unison with the pelvis? Or maybe it does it differently. We're not talking about a lot of movement, but just a tendency, an inclination to move in sync with your pelvis in some way. And when you have a sense of it, let your head get involved. Intentionally move your head so that there's a sense of connection or going with the movements of your pelvis. Not in any exaggerated way, just in the sense of picking up on what's communicated from the pelvis through the spine, through the ribs, into the head, into the skull. And as you do this, be sure to accommodate the movements to your natural breathing pattern. Do you like tilting one way or the other on an inhalation, an exhalation? And in the same way that you've been playing with coordinated movement, as you did when you were sitting, doing the same movement pattern, right, flexion and extension, you can coordinate here. You can pause and rest anytime you want, even if I'm giving directions. So that you have a nice sense of connection between your head and pelvis. Let your jaw relax, hang open. Good. And pause and come to your neutral position, starting position. And just absorb those movements. Notice how they affect you. And now take your arms and move them a little bit further away from your sides so they're out at a 45 degree angle, or if you have room, even perpendicular. And have the palms facing up towards the ceiling, if that's possible. If it isn't, then have them in whatever position is comfortable. Probably start actually with now rotate the palms so they're face down onto the floor. And you're now going to do a movement pattern which will connect the movement of your pelvis into your shoulders, hands, and arms. So as you tilt your pelvis towards 12 o'clock, decreasing the space between your lumbar spine and the floor, as you feel that movement traveling up into your shoulders, allow your arms to roll over so your palms go face up towards the ceiling. And then as you return back down to your neutral starting position, let your hands and palms return back to face down on the floor. So you're, in the same way you coordinated your head and your pelvis, you're now coordinating your pelvis, your shoulders, and your arms. Of course, your head will get involved because you've involved it. So it's really about distributing the movement into your ribs and shoulders and hands in a way that feels coordinated. And of course, you want to harmonize all this with your breathing. You can always pause anytime you want and rest. That's fine. Nice. That's good. And return back to your neutral starting position. And now turn your palms so they're face up towards the ceiling. And as you tilt your pelvis towards 6 o'clock and increase the space between your lumbar spine and the floor, allow your arms to roll so your palms go face down onto the floor as you get to 6 o'clock. And then as you return to your neutral starting position, your hands roll back and the palms go towards the ceiling. And harmonize this with your natural breathing. Of course, your head will probably get involved. Allow it to. Let your jaw be relaxed, even slightly open. You can smile and see how that is. You can pick any emotion you want to accompany this. Good. And come to rest and stretch out. Take a full rest. You can rest in any position you want. And just absorb . Notice which regions of yourself your attention is naturally drawn to, how you inhabit yourself. Now, as you're just resting, notice if there are regions of your body-mind where you feel a sense of neutrality or even some pleasant sensations. Just take notice of those. And then notice if there are regions where you feel any discomfort, and just take note of that. And if you do have a difference of sensations, some pleasant sensations or neutral sensations in one region, and maybe less pleasant sensations in another region, just allow your awareness to go back and forth so that you notice both of those regions. So the pleasant sensations are there as a resource as you are with unpleasant sensations. And if any of this seems too complicated or too much work, just let it go and rest. Now bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor, and then take your legs over your chest. Take hold of each knee. And do a little bit of a circling motion for each knee so you can circle them in the same direction together, or you can circle them in independent directions, so one goes clockwise, one goes counterclockwise. And as you do this, notice how the changing pressure of your pelvis affects the changing pressure contact of your back, your shoulders, right? Other parts of yourself, your ribs. So you're giving yourself a massage, but you're also really noticing how you're mapping yourself onto the floor. And maybe there's some regions of yourself that you particularly feel drawn to experiencing. Okay, just notice those. And maybe you map further into those areas. Or maybe you have a sense that your pelvic joints enjoy being independently moved. That's fine. And when you feel like you've done that sufficiently, put your feet flat on the floor, knees up. Remember, if anything doesn't feel comfortable, you can always imagine it. You can just rest and do it in your imagination. That's perfectly fine. Now do a little movement of tilting your pelvis to 3 o'clock, to your left, and then come back to your neutral starting point. Going over to 3, and back to your neutral starting point. Do less than you can do. And let your jaw relax as you do this. And notice how your pressure contact changes. Do the movement small enough that you can make it light and smooth. You can do it with your natural breathing. And notice, when you tilt your pelvis to 3 o'clock, do you use your legs to help you tilt it? Maybe, maybe not. If you are using your legs, don't move your legs as much and notice if you can tilt your pelvis towards 3 o'clock, keeping your legs relatively stable. They're going to move a little, but maybe less. And breathe as you do this. Just a few times. And then let it go. And when you're ready, at your own pace, tilt your pelvis over towards 9 o'clock and back. It could be so small that somebody looking from the outside would see nothing, but you can internally feel the movement. Notice if you're using your legs or you're not. Try it without using your legs. Good. And come back to the center and pause. And when you're ready, you can rest for a little. When you're ready, combine both directions just a couple times and notice, do you have a preferred direction? To 3 o'clock? Over through the middle to 9 o'clock. Do you have a preference? And does the movement of your pelvis affect the movement of your head or your ribs or your shoulders? Just a little bit, and then let it go and take a full rest. You can stretch out, you can lie on a side. Any position that's comfortable for you is fine. Just sense the presence of the whole body at rest. Just absorbing the experiences that you've created. You can always just be with the natural rising and falling of the breath. With each exhalation, you just let everything sink, relax, and be supported by the floor. And then bring your knees up, feet flat. This is the last variation for the moment. Now your pelvis is still on a clock face. So this is going to be a little more challenging and less typical of a movement pattern. So I suggest doing it in a very small way, or if it feels too odd, you can always just imagine it. But one way to do this is you're going to tilt your pelvis so that it goes through the different numbers of the clock face. So far we've done four directions, 12, 6, 3, and 9. Now you're going to take your pelvis from 12 to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 and to 6, and then reverse back. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And it's fine if you don't know how to do it. It's all a discovery process. Some numbers may feel clearer than others. It's fine. Whatever you discover is fine. I suggest you make the movement pretty small, pretty close to the center of the clock. Let your jaw relax. Breathe. And just notice, are there some numbers that it's easier to go through than others? Just going from 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 12. And as you go around that half of the clock, notice how the pressure contact changes in your back, in your head, in your ribs, and other parts of yourself, your feet. Maybe just a few times and let it go. And pause and rest, and when you're ready, do the other side. 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. If it seems like it's too hard to do, you can just imagine it. And notice, the two sides different for you? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. That's good. Now come back to the center and just pause and rest for a moment. And take a full stretch out rest. Just relax. You know, if you need to bring your knees over your chest and give your back a massage, that's fine. If you need to roll around a little bit, that's fine. Whatever feels good to take care of yourself is fine. You can just rest and absorb the experience. Now, as one last variation, for those of you who wish to do it, if you want to keep resting, that's perfectly fine. You can do that. But this is an intriguing little thing to try. You bring your knees up, feet flat on the floor. And now you're going to take your pelvis all the way around the clock face. So you can go up to 12 and go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, going clockwise. And don't worry about being good at it. Just notice how you do it. There are some numbers that seem clearer, some numbers that don't. Can you do this in a way where you can continue to breathe naturally? Can you feel how the movement of your pelvis is now affecting your ribs and your head? And notice, does your head want to do its own clock movement too? If it does, let it do it. If you want to change directions for the movement of the pelvis and do counterclockwise movements, that's fine too. The key thing is to do it in a light, easy way and feel how the movement of the pelvis changes your contact and connects with other regions of yourself. And let your head and pelvis connect as they wish. And that's probably enough. You can bring your legs over your chest and give your back another massage and notice how you want to do this. What feels right for you? You can be improvisational. And at some point, you just stretch out, relax, and let everything sink and drop. And sense your contact one more time. If you were dipped into that bottle of ink and blotted on the page, what's the ink impression like now? Where would there be ink impressions? Where would there be white spots? Has anything changed in the way in which you make contact based on that ink impression? And return to the image of the two imaginary lines going running right through the middle of each leg. And notice, has anything changed in the relationship of those lines to each other? Maybe so, maybe not. Particularly as they travel upwards through your body. And notice if there are any regions of yourself that awareness particularly is drawn to or occupies now as we come to the end of the lesson. And notice what it's like to inhabit the whole body all at once. To simply be the presence of the whole body at rest. Just absorbing, being with the arising and passing away of appearances. Just being the welcoming sense of awareness of it all. Now, when you get up and start to come towards your feet, really take your time. Move in a way where you feel like your upper and lower body, your pelvis, your ribs, your head, your legs, your arms, where you carry that sense of what you learned from this lesson into the whole process of starting to become more vertical. But really take your time. Play with it. Rest in different positions. Experiment. Try out different motions that you're drawn to trying out, different movements. Maybe you roll one way. Maybe you roll another way. Maybe you pause. Maybe you just get in touch with your breathing. Maybe you just sense what it's like to be in a posture. You really take your time so that you can build a foundation that supports you all the way up to getting up. There's no rush here. You can really take your time. You might crawl around a little bit. You might go on all fours and play with just resting in that position or just crawling backwards and forwards. Who knows? Whatever feels like you're drawn to doing is fine. Eventually, you'll come to standing, and you can let your arms hang at your sides and just notice what the contact is like through your feet now. If you weight shift a little bit to the left and the right, what's the weight shifting like? Has anything changed in the pressure contact of the feet with the floor or in the weight shifting? And if you circle around yourself, so you're doing a little circle as you're standing, one direction and the other, what's your circling like? And then when you're okay with it, take a seat for a moment and adjust yourself so you feel vertical, so your back is not against the chair. You're sitting with your back away from the chair. This lesson applied some of the same themes you just did in the sitting lesson. And do some micro-adjusting, moving your pelvis a little bit forwards, a little bit backwards. And how wide do you want your legs apart? How flat are your feet? Which direction are they pointing? Do you have a new vertical? Is it a little bit easier to be sitting vertically? Maybe, maybe not. You're checking it out. Where do you want to put your hands to help your shoulders feel settled? And then, just for the heck of it, just launch and come up to standing. How's that? And launch and go back to sitting. Feeling a little fluidity in that movement now? Yeah, just coming up. Feeling how you drop your weight into your feet. How you reverse. Okay. So that's a integration of the sitting lesson into a lying down lesson with a little pelvic clock variation. This is a very classic Feldenkrais lesson called the pelvic clock, but with some mapping added on, because I kept asking you to pressure map so you felt more comfortable. So I would like to check in on this one before we go into a last meditation, but I have a sense that you might need a break. So why don't we take another 10-minute break? We'll come back at 4 o'clock. ring the gong again, and walk around and notice how the lesson has affected your walking too. This lesson often has a very powerful effect on walking. So just to do a check, welcome back. Everybody just stand up one more time here. And we're going to return to that early movement we did this morning. Just let your arms hang at your sides. Turn and look to your left. And come back. Turn and look to your right. How's your rotation doing now? Okay, and notice which parts of you have joined into it that have become resources for you. Yeah, just take for a moment, just turn to a partner and just say, what did you discover? What has become more participative in your movement pattern? We'll take 30 seconds and do this. Yeah. Okay. So let's just check in with you. Have a seat and just get any further questions, comments, revelations. Who would like to? Yes, there's over here.
So now what? Now that we've done this.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah, now what? Well, if you like doing this, if it seems useful, there are many, many people who do this in the Bay Area. We're really fortunate that Feldenkrais decided to do his first U.S. training in San Francisco. So it's sort of like it seeded the area, and there's so many people here. So the Feldenkrais Guild website, you just type Feldenkrais Guild, find a practitioner, and you put in your city or area code, and you can find somebody near you who's offering awareness to movement classes and also doing individual work if you want. You know, I think it's if you can get a referral to somebody that's, you know, someone's worked with, that's great. Or, you know, this will be online. This whole day will be online soon. And you can download it and go through these lessons again. You know, I have lots of lessons if you want to get a CD and practice with them. There's many, many, many lessons online. There's many lessons in YouTube. There's tons of this stuff out there. So I would say just do it in the way that you're drawn to doing it. One of the things that I really like about Feldenkrais work is it's so pleasurable in a certain way that it just draws you right into it, because it feels so good to move with harmony internally and with less effort, and it's like it wakes up the whole system, and then you start listening to the way the body wants to be itself. So, yeah, keep doing it. Go to a class or just do lessons at home. You don't even have to do, when you're doing this, you don't even have to do a whole lesson. Just do 10 minutes of a lesson, because it'll cue you into something that you're already, the seed is planted here, and you're already tuned into it, and it'll just carry it forward. And as you do lessons, you'll just start getting creative with it, too. You just say, well, I'm going to try this variation. I'll try that variation. What would happen if I did this? So go with the flow. Yeah.
Thank you so much for today. It's been really wonderful. I wondered if you notice after practicing for quite some time that these things are just natural for your body. So are you experiencing less tightness, less aches and pains and all that kind of as a result of continuing the practice?
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's not just, you
know. Not just a knock-off one-day experience.
Yeah, it's not like I feel so good today and then tomorrow's.
Yeah, no, it just keeps, it's very, but of course, you know, no one thing is for everybody, so you never know how it works for people. Some people don't like small movement even. But for me, it's been additive. And, you know, I get aches and pains or injuries, but I feel like I'm listening and it's speaking. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty aware when this body mind is saying something. I can hear it now, and I will respond. I don't even know what the eye is in there. The whole system is aware of itself and regulating itself in a different way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say there's any central bureaucrat that's running the show.
Yeah,
I think the whole system is just, you know, it's a systems theory type of idea. The whole system is responsive to itself.
Uh-huh.
All the communication highways are in communication, or a lot of them are, not all of them.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else? Well,
can you say a little more about how practicing this regularly eventually somehow feeds into emotional patterns or behavioral patterns?
Yeah, I mean, the exploration of doing something with novelty and interest rubs off psychologically, I'd say. I mean, I also teach psychology, so I'm oriented towards that. But just affects the whole way of experiencing life is just a little more curiosity about what's happening, and also that the division between mind and body becomes less divided. I mean, as you can see, it's really one system, and the partitioning off of physical from emotional or spiritual or mental, that becomes less so over time in my experience. I mean, people experience it differently, but it just seems like maybe there's a growing willingness to try things differently, and that has some quality of emotional development to it. But, you know, I'm just also very much a human being, and I experience the same pros and cons and foibles and this and that doing it. So, you know, it's nice. It's a way to be. But there's still the whole issue of being human and what it's like to be human here. So it's a path for exploring that. I don't know if that's clear. Do you need the mic? Yeah. I don't know if I even answered the question.
I'm
just wondering if it's chicken and egg, because, you know, to change, you have to change in the body. If you're going to change, like, some way of reacting in a situation, ultimately you're going to have to change in the body, and it's going to feel different on every aspect of being. Mm-hmm. So it's like, does the body change and then the patterns change, or you work on changing the patterns and then somehow the body comes along? Or, I mean, it's not really, I'm just...
You're talking about the patterns, psychological patterns or emotional patterns?
Psychological that are emotional and then behavioral, yeah.
You know, I find that doing this work in particular has really moved me much more in the direction of, I don't have to figure it out, I just somatically set up different new experiences, and it has a ripple effect throughout. So I've, you know, it's behavior, it's straight ahead behavior that you're playing with. And I find that changing the behavior this way, rooted deeply into my sensory motor system, has a ripple out effect that affects psychological issues, emotional issues, all of that. Yeah. And it really works in that way for me. Well, it's very interesting to talk about this. I haven't said this type of thing here before, so go ahead.
Thank you. So talking about neuroplasticity, does this have direct benefits on the aging brain and memory?
I think so. From everything I've seen, have an interesting history of that. I've worked with people who are older than me for most of my adult life, starting at age 18. I was working with people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and that's been a pattern in my life. And I wasn't doing Feldenkrais, but I got into Feldenkrais, and then I've always worked with people who are elders as well. And it seems almost miraculous sometimes for people, because people develop a sense of, you know, something's gone seriously wrong here. But then they do a Feldenkrais lesson, and it's sort of, they get a 50% reduction of pain in an hour. And it's like, well, what was that? And that, you know, that's not going to happen for everybody, for sure. But sometimes we have a lot more ability to reorganize ourselves, and it's amazing when it happens. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is a great thing for aging. I remember my mother, when I introduced this to my mother, who lived to be 93, I remember when she was in 92, and she used to do it like all the time. And she said, you know, I wouldn't even be able to move if I hadn't learned this at this point. And she was still moving around and pretty functional into her 90s. And a lot of it was, she did this Feldenkrais. She didn't do all of it every day, but she did something almost every day. And she had memorized like about 25 lessons and just did them in bed, sitting, standing. And I could see it was affecting her functioning, her physical functioning quite a lot.
On the what's next topic, you've mentioned a couple things. I guess broadly my question is, do you have anything, any sort of like precautions or just watch out for this? It sounds like I don't feel scared or there's a lot of danger. It seems like we're doing a lot of gentle motion. And you've mentioned a few things like, you know, only do things that are comfortable, small motions, 5% is fine. I guess, are there any things that you would just suggest, like, maybe not do pelvic clock 12 times a day or something? Like, things like that.
I wouldn't do the pelvic clock 12 times a day.
Just 10. Things that might seem, I guess in particular, things that might seem kind of intuitive. Like,
well, don't do this while you're driving. although you might make micro adjustments while you're at the car, just getting at the right level. And when you rotate to look behind you, be sure to let your pelvis rotate with your head. You know, that type of stuff is all fine. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just your curiosity and what feels beneficial. I mean, if you do a lesson and afterwards you just feel not good, and you get some pain response, you probably need to do much, much, much less. And so I always go on the side of doing less, because you're still going to get the benefit. You're still going to change the sensory motor pattern. The size of the movement is not that important. It's the quality. And if anything, that's the one thing to stay attentive to, is the quality, the ease, the lightness, the reversibility, the smoothness, the sense of rightness for you internally with your organism. So that's the guide for me. But you'll, as you do it, you'll discover your own guidance system. I'll go over here and then.
So you said that the size of the movement doesn't matter. What about when you have a really tight muscle and your physical therapist says you should stretch it out, and then you actually do that and it helps, but it's kind of painful and you want to, you know, integrate more body intuition and that type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the size of the movement doing Feldenkrais work doesn't matter. When you're doing something like physical therapy, the size of the movement might be quite important. And and so you have to sort of do a dance of different modalities, and you know maybe you find a relationship to how you launch into and launch out of doing the movement pattern as you make it bigger and as you make it smaller, so that you're increasing your sense of regulating the whole going into and coming out of something. Because for me, that activity of going into something, an action, and then coming out of it is a formatory process. You're forming the next thing. If you can be sensitive to that, then you're in the path of regulating the system. What happens when people injure themselves often doing something that's too big is they just jam right into it and they do too much. So that's where the Feldenkrais approach could come in.
Thank you.
Coming in and out.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, maybe one more question. We'll wrap. Here's the mic.
If you had any suggestions, starting to get some arthritis stuff going on in the fingers and this movement of slowly opening them and closing them and all of that, are there some Feldenkrais exercises for the fingers?
Yeah, just send me an email and I'll send them to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if any of you want to follow up on any of this, send me an email and, you know, I'm happy to continue the conversation and connect you with resources. There's a lot of resources, so we can keep going with the learning, forwarding the learning. Okay, so I'm supposed to remind CEU people, you must sign out to get the CEUs and fill out a form, I think an evaluation form, so be sure to do that. And I thought, as a way to end, we'd do a very short metta, loving-kindness meditation. So just find a comfortable position. Sitting, lying down, whatever you wish. And now you probably are quite aware of how you like to be vertical at this time. So do your little micro-adjusting of your pelvis and the rest of yourself. And become aware of your breathing. And metta meditation is a way to cultivate the sense of loving kindness for oneself and for all beings. So you can begin by calling to mind someone who has been a loving presence in your life, someone you might consider a benefactor, or a creature who has been a benefactor, an animal, could even be some place on the earth that has been a kind of healing benefactor to you. It's pretty broad. But someone or something that, when you think of that being or place, just automatically you feel a sense of loving kindness. It's not hard to go there. It's easy. And just simply receive that sense of loving kindness in relationship to that being. Allow yourself to be washed by the waves of loving kindness. So that you have a sense of the whole body, mind, just attuning to the space of love and kindness. So that as you receive the loving kindness, it's easy for you to also wish for that being to similarly feel peaceful and happy, free from suffering, to feel free, to feel compassion. So you're mutually influencing each other into a loving, kind space. And you're just resting in that space. And then turn that towards yourself, towards your body, mind, spirit, whatever is you. May I be free from suffering. May I be peaceful. May I be happy. May I be free. May I be peaceful. May I be free from suffering. May I be compassionate. May I be happy. So you just cultivate the waves of that and let them wash over you. Let that spread out the whole space of the body, mind. And then think of the people in this room who you've shared today's journey with. Fellow travelers on the path, fellow explorers. And just let this sense of loving kindness spread out, radiate out from you in all directions to everyone here. As I wish to be happy, may all of you be happy. May all of you be peaceful. May all of you be filled with love and compassion. Just letting the waves of loving kindness radiate to everybody in the room. All of us swimming in the ocean of loving kindness together. And then let that spread out further. So you just let this loving kindness radiate out to all beings, everywhere. As I wish to be happy, may all beings be happy. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be filled with compassion. Just letting it radiate out in every direction, shining waves of loving compassion on all beings. On all the fellow travelers. May you all be happy, peaceful, free from pain and suffering. So thank you for coming today. Thank you for everybody who volunteered to make this happen. This wouldn't happen without all your support. And may you have fun exploring, and stay in touch if you'd like. Maybe take a little walk around before driving off to let it integrate further. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And thanks again for coming. It's great to share this.